One other thing I forgot to announce is the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. The envelopes are in the bulletins. If you haven't given to that yet, we'll be taking that up this month. And what's our goal this year? $540. All right. Very good. I want to commend everybody that's here. I thought for a minute we wasn't going to have 25 people, and then right at the end, everybody kind of filtered in. But I want to commend you for having lost an hour of sleep last night and still made it to church. So God bless you, because it's this Sunday of the year. The pastor always wonders how many people are going to be here. And I told this story to Frank and Lauren and Patty back here a few minutes ago. When I was about 12, my dad argued with me. He said, you put the clocks back in the spring. And I said, no, you go spring forward. And I argued with him. And he said, boy, I know what I'm talking about. We're going to put these clocks back. I was like, do what you want. So he got me up, go to church. I said, it ain't going to do no good. I said, we ain't going to make it. And he told me, get up and get dressed. I got up and got dressed. We went to church. We pulled in the parking lot about the time everybody was leaving, because we were 2 hours late. Instead of going forward, he went back, and I don't think he ever done that again. But anyway, if you see somebody pulling in the lot about 12 o'clock as we're leaving, you'll know what happened this morning. So, but I'm glad to see you all this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter, Gospel of Luke chapter 18. Chapter 18, verses 9 through 14 this morning. And this morning we're going to talk about there's times when our faith gets a little misguided. And I'm telling you something, it's easy to do. Now, you know, I make this comment, I say, well, just trust the Lord. That sounds real easy in theory, doesn't it? Until you have a major problem in your life, and there's a big trial that you're facing, and all kind of issues going on, and you don't know what to do about it, and somebody says, well, just trust the Lord. Well, yeah, it sounds easy in theory. Sometimes it's not. And sometimes we allow Satan, I believe, to get our focus off of the Lord and onto the things of the world, and our faith once again gets a little misguided. And so we're going to look at this today, because we're going to see a story about a guy who had some misguided faith, and we're going to look at his story, and we're going to see at the end about the guy whose faith was in the right place. And in verse 9, Luke chapter 18, the Word of God says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10 says, Jesus said, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you the truth, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. John Taylor, lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. You know, there's all kind of things I see people putting their faith in today. All kind of things that people are trusting. For starters, I'll give you a few examples this morning. I see many in this nation today who are so zealous about their politics and their politicians, and they have this absolute blind faith that their political party can fix everything that ails America today. Well, I've been alive for a while now, and I'm going to just tell you what I've seen. I don't see where things are getting better in this country, but rather it appears to me they're getting worse. So guess what that means? It means politicians and politics are not the answer. In addition to this, I also see so many in this nation today who want to trust in their riches and in their material gains. But let me warn you, the Bible is clear. Money can be lost. Amen. It can be stolen. Stock markets can crash. Everything you've worked for your whole life can be just evaporate in a matter of hours. It can happen, and it has happened, and it'll probably happen again. You know, it saddens me because America is the richest nation on the planet, and yet we seem to be one of the least moral and least spiritual nations on the planet. I see nations in other places on this globe that are far poorer than we are, and yet they are far more moral, far more spiritual, far more in tune with God and His Word than we are here in America today, and isn't it sad? And then there's medicine and science. Oh, we have so much faith in these things, so much so that we have replaced the truth about God in our public schools and replaced Him with the lie of evolution. Isn't it sad? Don't even get me started about medicine, because I see so many today, they have such blind faith in their doctors and in prescription drugs. And listen to me, friends, I'm just going to say this real quick. If you're sick and you need to go to a doctor, go to a doctor. That's what you need to do. And if the doctor gives you something that you need to have to help you, then by all means, go get a prescription and take it. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm going to say this. I've met some people that have absolutely taken it to extremes. I was visiting with a fellow here not too long ago, a guy I've known for a long time, and he's one that takes things to extremes. And I was sitting there at his dining room table with him, talking with him, and he got up a couple times, and I couldn't help it. It was all sitting right there in front of me. I wasn't trying to be nosy, but it was all right there. And you know, I counted on his dining room table, I counted 28 different prescription drugs that this man is taking. 28. And I got looking, and some of them were actually narcotics. And you know, he's one of these guys, and I hate to say this, but if he sees, and I'm going to tell you something. America's a bunch of drug addicts today. I don't know if you know that or not, and it's all legal. Do you ever watch TV in the afternoon and see how many different drug commercials there are? I mean, they're coming up with issues I ain't ever even heard of, and they got drugs for it. And this guy, he's one of these guys, if he sees a new drug he ain't heard of, then he'll go get online, he'll research what the drug's supposed to take care of, and then he'll research what that problem is, and then he'll convince himself that he's got it. I joked, I said he didn't know he had Ebola until he read about it on the web, okay? But anyway, you know, but he's one of these guys. And then the second he convinces himself he's got this problem, he runs to his doctor, wants another prescription. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe putting that much medication in your body is good for you. Nor do I believe that it will prolong your life. And I'm going to say this, I don't care how good your doctor is, you're still going to die. I actually met somebody a few years ago, this was before COVID, it was a woman who told me to pray for her, and she said she was going to have a double mastectomy. This is a woman I knew, and I said, oh my goodness, I said, do you have breast cancer? She looked at me, and I kid you not, this is what she said, no. I said, why are you having a double mastectomy then? Because I don't want to get breast cancer. I said, is there a history of breast cancer in your family? She said, no. She said, but I ain't getting it. The only thing that saved her, she lost her job and lost her insurance before she could have that surgery. But I'm going to tell you what bugged me was I couldn't believe she found a doctor that was willing to do it. I call that taking things to extreme. Okay, if you're sick, you got the flu, you go to the doctor, he gives you something to help you. Hey, praise God, I hope it helps you. But don't take it to extremes and don't put blind faith in your doctor and in medicine, because I'm going to tell you something. If you do, you're still going to die. I'm just going to say that. And then to top it off, this guy I know, he's got some drugs he takes that have caused some serious side effects, and the side effects, I believe, are worse than what he was trying to cure to begin with, and then he's had to go to the doctor and get even more drugs to deal with the side effects the first drug caused. Isn't it sad? And yet people just can't seem to get enough. But you know, of all the things that people are trusting today, there is one thing they trust that's far and above worse than all the others. And that is people who are trusting in their own righteousness and trusting in their religious works to get them to heaven. Even though Jesus came not only to make salvation possible for them, He also came to make it easy for them. Let me just say this real quick before I get too far along. You do understand getting saved is as easy as falling off a log, right? I mean, it is so simple. What does the Bible say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
If you'll just pray and tell God, acknowledge God, yes, God, I have sinned, and I have sinned against you, and I am not worthy of your heaven, but I believe that you sent your son Jesus to this earth, and I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sins, to take my punishment for me, and I believe that he rose from the dead the third day, and I believe these things so much, and I'm asking him to forgive me, I'm asking him to save me, and I'm asking him to come in my heart and life. You know what the Bible says? You shall be saved.
Friends, Jesus did the heavy lifting, okay? He did the work. He went to the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. We don't have to.
Amen.
God didn't just make salvation possible. He made it easy. And yet there are people just like this guy we're going to look at today who have this misguided faith that says, well, I can earn my own way to heaven. I can be righteous enough. I can work my way. I can get there. I'm going to tell you something. No, you can't. So this morning I want to look at these two men, the one who trusted in himself and the one who made the decision to put his faith in the Lord. And I want to look at their story and see what the Lord has to say to us about those with misguided faith versus those who trust in him. And the first thing I want to bring out this morning is that when it comes to heaven, when it comes to eternal life, there are too many people, and I mean today, too many people who are trusting in themselves for eternal life rather than God. Look at the very first thing verse 9 says. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Jesus was giving this parable specifically to those who were trusting in themselves and their religious works. Now I'm here to tell you something, friends. There are a lot of people today in this world, in this country, who fall into this category. You know, I'm constantly out here visiting people in the community and talking to people, and anytime I get a chance to talk to somebody about their salvation, I do it. And you know, I like to ask questions, and you've probably heard me talk about these questions before, but my first question I always ask people is, if you die right now, are you absolutely certain you're going to heaven? Let me ask something. Are you? If you die right now, are you absolutely certain that you're going to heaven? No, not a doubt in your mind. Let me tell you something. If you've truly been born again, if you're truly saved, you ought to have that assurance that, yes, I die right now, I'm going to heaven. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but if I die right now, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord. I become absent from this body of flesh. I'm going to be present with my Savior. Amen? I know that. I have no doubt. I have the Spirit of God living in me that bears witness to me that I am a child of God. But let me tell you, I ask that question to a lot of people. Are you absolutely sure you're going to heaven if you die right now? And I'm going to tell you something. Most people don't have any assurance. You want me to tell you why? Because they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why. Then I get more to the point with these people. I say, well, let me ask you this. What if you died right now? What if you were standing before God at his throne and God were to look at you and say, why should I let you into my heaven? What will your answer be? Now we're going to find out what they're trusting. You want me to give you the three most popular answers I get? Because I get these answers over and over and over. Let me give you the top three answers that I get, okay? First answer I get, and this is the main one I get, I'm a good person. You're going to go up and you're going to stand before God at his throne, and he's going to look at you and he's going to say, why should I let you in my heaven? You're going to look at him and say, I'm a good person. Well, let me just clue you in real quick. No, you're not. No, you're not. Don't feel bad, neither am I. Because the Bible declares in Romans 3:10, it says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Guess what? That means you. That means me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guess what? You might be good when you compare yourself to certain people, but honey, you ain't good enough. I'm just telling you the truth, but that's the first answer I get. The most popular answer is I'm a good person. The second most popular answer I get to that question is, well, I believe in God. Now, again, that's good. It's a good start, but it ain't nearly enough. And then the third answer I get, people, they tell me, oh, well, preacher, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. I love those people. You know what I say to them, Susie, when they tell me that? I say, tell me what they are. Recite me the Ten Commandments, and they don't have a clue. Now, let me ask them. If they don't even know what they are, how in the world are they keeping them?
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to be blunt. They're not. Okay? And they're not just Ten Commandments. There's all these points of the Old Testament law. But praise God, I'm under grace, not under the law. And even at that, James said in chapter 2, if I keep the whole law and offend in one point, I'm guilty of the whole daggone thing. Guess what? I'm guilty of everything, friends. I am. I ain't keeping nothing. On the day of judgment, I mean, God will say you're guilty of every single thing. And you know what? I will be. And so will you. So that ain't going to get it done either. And I also hear these talk, other things people tell me, oh, I keep the golden rule. I do more good than I do bad. I try to avoid sin. I do all this. But what are those people trusting? They're trusting themselves. That they are good enough. That they believe in God. That they have good works. That they keep commandments. You hear what the faith is in? Them. It's not in Jesus. It's in them.
Our text this morning, there's a man, he was a Pharisee. He was just like this. I mean, look how he boasts. And I'm going to use that word, boast, in verses 11 and 12. So as the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, listen to this, that I am not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not as bad as a stinking publican standing right here beside me. You know what I also think? I think he said this out loud. I think he said it loud enough probably the old publican heard him. He was just that self-righteous. And then verse 12, listen to this. He tells God, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Who's his focus on? It's on himself. It ain't on God. It's on him. His faith definitely was not in the Lord. His faith was in himself. Because look at the language. He says, Lord, I'm not as bad as other men. I am not as sinful. I fast. I give tithes. I have works. I do all this stuff. His faith was not in the Lord. His faith was in himself and his own works. But I want you to know something. I can't skip past this. I got to bring this up. In verse 11, look how it starts. Look how the verse starts. It begins by saying, the Pharisee stood and prayed, listen to this, thus with himself. Indeed he did. I think this is important that Jesus tells us this. This man indeed prayed thus with himself. You know what? This guy was talking to himself. Okay? I know he was. I'm going to make a bold statement here. God wasn't listening. You hear me? God wasn't listening. Because this man was in his faith rather than his works, or his man's faith was in his works and in himself rather than in God. But what does Romans 3:20 say? Romans 3:20 says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's what it says. And yet, this is what he was trusting. This man was religious. He obviously believed in God. He had all kind of works he could brag about. He had a resume of spiritual works that he could brag about. But here's the sad thing. This old boy was lost in his sin and headed for hell. He was. And because he was, God wasn't listening to anything that he said, let alone was God impressed. Oh, what do you mean God wasn't listening? Well, let me prove this real quick. You ready for this? I can prove it to you. God wasn't listening. How do I know God wasn't listening? Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. What is iniquity? Iniquity is sin. If I regard sin, if I choose sin, the Lord will not hear me. Guess what? When you choose to live without Jesus Christ, you choose to live without a relationship with him, you are indeed living in sin. You are regarding your iniquity. And what does the Lord say? He says he will not hear such a person. Amen. That don't sell you. How about Proverbs 15:29? It says the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. How do we become righteous? We're made righteous in the eyes of God when we come into a saving relationship of faith with Jesus Christ. But until we come to Christ, we are not righteous. And until we come to Christ, God does not hear our prayers. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says this. It says, but your iniquities, your sin, have separated you from God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I got other scriptures wrote down if you'd like to see them after church. I'm not going to go through all of them, but those are a few. There's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible tell the same thing. God is not listening to the prayers of the lost. And I want you to understand something, friends. The only prayer God's going to hear from a lost person, it's real simple. is that prayer where they pray and call on Jesus to save them. But until they pray that prayer, I don't believe.
Listen, I know God knows what they're praying, but God is not listening, okay? Now listen to me, friends. There's a mediator between God and man, isn't there? And who is that? Christ Jesus. Well, if you don't have Christ Jesus, you don't have a mediator. And if you don't have a mediator, how can you communicate with God? You can't.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Jesus got this right, okay? This man, he was just talking to himself that day when he prayed. God wasn't listening, and Jesus rightly said it when he said that he stood and prayed thus with himself. Because he was lost. God didn't care. God wasn't impressed. Because this guy, listen to me, was trusting in himself for a solution to his sin problem rather than trusting in the Lord for a solution to his sin problem. His faith was misguided. This led to other problems because consider this. Because he trusted in himself rather than the Lord, this led him to a false hope and a false sense of security. Look at verse 9 again. Jesus said he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. What? That they were righteous. You want me to tell you the sad truth about this old boy, this Pharisee here in this text? He actually thought what he was doing himself was sufficient to get himself to heaven. I think he actually believed that. He actually thought his works were enough. And all that he was doing led him to believe that everything was good between him and God when in reality it wasn't. Amen. Let me ask him, how disappointed do you think this guy was when he stood before God only to find out that what he had done wasn't good enough? How sad do you think that moment was? How shocked do you think he was? In eternity, when he realized this publican that he had condemned actually made it, but he himself had not. How disappointed do you think he was when he found out Jesus, who he had rejected, was indeed the only way to heaven? I'll bet you he wasn't just saddened by this truth. I'll bet you he was shocked. And today there are so many people like this guy. They act like they're doing God a favor by doing their good works in his name. And like this Pharisee, they're not trusting in Jesus. They're trusting in themselves and their works, so much so that they actually believe everything is okay between them and God when in reality it's not. And I'm telling you something about these people. If something don't change for them soon, then they, like the Pharisee, are going to be shocked and saddened when they stand before God in judgment only to find out that they chose to trust the wrong thing, when they should have been trusting the Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, trusting in the wrong thing always leads to a false hope, always leads to a false sense of security. But that's not the end of the story either, because look on next. And we see that trusting in self or something other than Jesus not only leads to a false hope and a false sense of security, it also, get this, leads us to a sense of self-righteousness which looks down on others and condemns others. What does it say in verse 9? It says, certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and what? And despised others. And we see it in his language in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. What's he saying? I'm glad I'm better than they are. Look at these vile people, God. These extortioners and these adulterers and these vile people like this publican over here. God, I'm so thankful I'm not like them. What's he doing? He's condemning others. He has become very self-righteous. Hard to believe, isn't it? This guy actually thanks God that he is not like other men, meaning that he's thanking God that he's not as vile and sinful as others were. But here's the problem with this guy. He's measuring himself against the wrong ruler. He is. Let me tell you something. If I want to, there are plenty of people right out here in Mount Sterling I can go measure myself against and make myself feel pretty good about me. There are plenty of people I can go find that will make me look like a saint. But here's the problem. I'm measuring against the wrong ruler too if I do that. Amen. You see, had this guy, instead of measuring himself against other sinners, actually measured himself against Christ Jesus, he would have realized he was just as vile and just as sinful as everybody else. Amen. Isn't it sad? His misplaced faith led him to a false hope, which led him to become a very self-righteous person who, listen to me, readily condemned other people. And instead of realizing that he was in the same boat as this publican, he condemned him to the point that the Bible says he despised him. And here's the sad thing. Here's what that means. It means he had no desire to see this publican become right with God. Rather, he wanted to see the publican get what he deserved. Well, sadly, the world, and yes, even worse, the church, are still filled with these self-righteous, holier-than-thou people, just like this Pharisee who looked down on others in order to make themselves feel good about themselves. You do realize that's why we tear other people down, right? Amen. Because we're trying to make ourselves feel better about us. And if I can tear you down, I can feel better about me. Amen. That's called being self-righteous. So let me give you just a little food for thought. You ever find that you are in the business of looking down on others and that you're condemning others? Or if you ever feel like you would be delighted to see some lost person get what they deserve rather than seeing God extend his grace to them, well, you better look out, because you too have become a self-righteous hypocrite just like this Pharisee. And this brings me to the final point of this message. The one solution that will fix misguided faith and a self-righteous heart. You want to know what the one solution is? It's real simple. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. All right, we've looked at the act of this Pharisee. Let's look at this other guy, the publican. And look in verse 13. It says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Quite a contrast, isn't it, between this guy and the Pharisee? The Pharisee was so full of himself, trusting that he on his own was good enough to get himself to heaven. He boasted about his goodness and his righteousness. He boasted that he was better than others. He was so quick to brag about what he had done for God, and even quicker to condemn those that he felt didn't live up to his standard. But the publican was different. He didn't come to God bragging about all that he had done. He didn't come to God bragging about how lucky God was to have him on his team. He couldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven because he didn't feel worthy to even look up to God. He came to God humbly. He came with a contrite heart, which means that he knew he was a sinner. He was broken over those sins because he realized he had committed those sins against God and only God. I'm going to tell you something. When you sin, that's who you're sinning against. I got a little picture. It's on the dash of my truck. It's a picture of a man, and he's kind of slouched down like this, and Jesus has got him up under the arms. Jesus is holding him up, and he's just almost passed out, but in his hand is a hammer. Somebody asked me, I said, "Why you got that picture up on your dash right there at your steering wheel?" I said, "It's a reminder that I'm tired of driving nails." Because let me tell you something, every time I sin against God, it's like I took a hammer and drove the nail myself. Amen. My sin put him on the cross, you know, and so did yours. Little picture's a reminder, yeah, I've got the hammer in my hand too. And like that young man in the photo, I'm tired of driving nails too. I'd rather have a life that pleases God. Amen. But in order to do that, I have to be honest about who I really am. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to come to God with that self-righteous heart that says, "God, look at everything I'm doing for you. God, aren't you lucky I'm serving you?" You ain't going to get nowhere in your spiritual life, let alone get to heaven. Amen. You've got to come humbly. You've got to come broken. You've got to come realizing that you have sinned against God himself. And most of all, the thing I like about this publican is he understood the truth that on his own, he had absolutely no chance of getting to heaven. He knew that he was not worthy of heaven, even on his best day. And he knew that if he was going to make it to heaven, then it was going to have to be the Lord who would make him a way to heaven. And so rather than trusting in himself and trusting in his works and in his righteousness, he put his faith in the Lord. That's why he prayed, and that's why he asked God to be merciful to him. And like the Pharisee, instead of looking to himself for a solution to his sin problem, he looked to the Lord for a solution to his sin problem. And what was the verdict that Jesus reached on these two men? Oh yeah, same verdict he's going to reach on the judgment day. And that is that the proud boaster who trusted in himself, who condemned others, would not be allowed in, while the one who humbled himself and came to the Lord with a broken and contrite heart was made righteous in the eyes of God. Again, how shocked do you think the Pharisee was in eternity when he found out this publican that he had condemned made it to heaven while he himself did not? You know what? This old fellow had been in hell for a long time now. I bet he's still shocked by that. What do you think? Friends, we all have choices to make in this life. But the biggest choice you will ever make in this life is the choice about Jesus. Are you going to trust him for eternal life? Or are you going to trust something else? Trusting in something other than Jesus will only lead you to a false hope and a false sense of security, and I promise you it will cause you to have a self-righteous heart that condemns others as well. Amen. And today, if you find that you like to boast a little too much about what you're doing for him rather than bragging about what he's done for you, or if you find yourself feeling superior to others, or worse yet, you'd rather see someone get what they deserve than see God extend his grace to them. Well, let me give you some advice. You need to find your way to Jesus today. Amen. Friends, we need to be careful that we do not allow our faith to become misguided to the place that we trust in something other than Jesus. Let me ask a question. Remember in 2 Corinthians, Paul prayed in chapter 12. He said he had a thorn in the flesh from Satan. You know what that means? It means there was something in the flesh he struggled with. Guess what? You've got one too. And so do I. And I don't want to know what yours is, and I ain't telling you what mine is. But we all have something we struggle with, don't we? And who gives us that struggle? The tempter, Satan himself. And Paul said what? He said, I have a thorn from Satan, a thorn in the flesh. And he said, I besought the Lord three times to remove it. Y'all remember what God said? God said no. Amen. You want me to tell you why God said no? God said this. He said, my grace is sufficient. You don't need nothing else. But yeah, I'm going to tell you what I really believe God was doing here. He was keeping Paul dependent on Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I think what God was saying was, Paul, if I take this away from you, you might be tempted to believe that you are so good, so self-righteous that you don't need me. Amen. But if I leave this sin in your life, it'll keep you dependent on me for salvation. And oh yeah, my grace is sufficient. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Be careful, because it can happen to the best of us. I think God knew it could have happened to Paul, and that's why he wouldn't remove it. And I'm going to say this, just because you're saved, get saved, and you put your faith in Christ for salvation, doesn't mean that trusting him is never going to be a problem again either. Because every day as God's people, we have choices to make. We can either choose to trust in the things of the world, or we can trust in self, or we can trust in the Lord and his word. Again, sounds very easy in theory, doesn't it? Wait till your life falls apart. Amen. Wait till someone you love gets a bad diagnosis at the doctor. Wait till you get a bad diagnosis at the doctor. Wait until someone you love dies. Wait until you're staring death in the face. Wait until you lose your job. Wait until you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. And then tell me how easy it is to trust Jesus. Like I said, it sounds real easy in theory, but the problem is some days it's not, but we still have to choose. We're going to trust him, or we're going to trust something else. And with that said, I'm going to give you one final verse of Scripture before I quit. I believe sums everything up very nicely. Psalms 118:8. By the way, if you count in the Bible all the chapters of all the books and you go to the dead center of the Bible, guess where you're going to be? Right between Psalms 118 and Psalms 119. That's the center of the Bible between those two chapters. Psalms 118, right at the center of the Bible. And Psalms 118:8 tells us what I believe is the central truth of the entire Bible. You want me to tell you what it says? It says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Amen. That means it's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in your credit card. It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in your banker or your bank account or your money. It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in science. It's better to trust in the Lord than it is to trust in your doctor and the drugs he's going to prescribe you. It's better to trust in the Lord than it is those silly politicians. It's better to trust in the Lord than trust in anything else. Amen. So let me ask you, friends, how's your faith this morning? Are you trusting Jesus for everything? Are you especially trusting Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation? If you're not, if you never have, if there's never been a moment where you made a decision and said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to place my faith in Christ and I'm going to ask him to save me and forgive me. If you've never done that, please come up here and see me as we sing this final hymn in a minute. I'd like to answer your questions. I'd like to show you in the Bible what the Word of God says. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to help you find a relationship with Jesus today so you can walk out that door with full assurance that if you die today, you're going to go home and be with him. And if that's the decision you need to make, please come and let's get that done today. But Christian, let me ask you this. Are you trusting him for everything else? Daily, we have to make our minds up to trust in the Lord for everything. But we also have to be careful. Otherwise, if we're not, our faith can quickly become misguided as well. Friends, God wants you to trust him for everything. Amen. And you know, when we consider all that he's already done for us, well, friends, I believe he's worthy of that trust. So today, if you find you're having difficulty trusting him for anything, if you find your faith has become a little misguided, you find you have a need for Christ, you find that you've become too self-righteous, you're to the place you're starting to condemn others, then let me invite you, bring it to him today and put your faith in him and trust him no matter what it is. I guarantee you, he's bigger than any problem you got. If he's big enough to defeat sin and death for us so that we can have eternal life, he's big enough to fix everything else, isn't he? Trust him. Trust him. Like I said, I know. In theory, that sounds easy. Practically, though, sometimes it's hard to do. But let me give you some advice. Trust him anyway. Trust him anyway. He'll see you through. Let's pray together.